Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North. I-29 in Tiffany Springs or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
That's a good pass. Oh, and good hands from Tillman.
Look at Tillman pointing and talking. I just love him defensively.
Drew Smith with a steal. He won't stop. He got fouled. They'll continue it and score the basket. Run out and ahead of the field, laying it up and laying it in is the other one, Mark Smith. Missouri back on the winning track.
Oh, Ochai, a reverse slam. Harris on the feed. Abaji on the flush. Over the shoulder and down hard.
He went up and caught that and not even looking at the rim, got the reverse dunk.
Wilson, left of the lane. He drives, steps through, kicks to Brown. Does he have a dagger? He does. Christian Brown from downtown, the corner pocket three ball, puts KU up six.
And now, already working on his master plan to get Sterling Mahomes onto his 2030 fourth grade girls basketball team, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay, right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Girls got genes, got talent. Why wouldn't I be on the hard-pressed recruiting? By the way, congratulations to the Mahomes family with their new arrival. And already he's finding out just how little he knows. How little he knows. This is when the relationship thing really kicks in. When you add baby to the mix, oh, the relationship, it goes to another level. And that's not all positive. Gentlemen, those of you who have kids, been in a relationship with kids, you understand what I'm talking about? You know where I'm coming
from. What's the
phrase? You hear me knocking, and I think I'm coming in.
What's the phrase? If you know, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, that first time you get home and it starts crying, I mean, boy or girl, I don't mean it as in, it's a thing. I mean, like, I don't know if you got home with a boy or a girl. And you look around, and you're like, yeah, it's just me. This one's all on me. You really have never had to do a job all by yourself until that day. Then you realize I could call someone, but they're not coming.
I heard one father say, you know, my wife will never look at me the way she looks at our child. He goes, when you have your first kid, at some point you realize you're just a date that worked out.
That's a good way to put it. There's other ways, too.
By the way,
depends upon the moment how well things are going.
Future NFL GMs are lamenting. They heard, no, bouncing baby girl. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Yep.
You know, that's generally how it works. All right, a lot to get to today here on a Monday. Thanks for joining us, the program. Proudly brought to you by my friends at Worth Harley Davidson North. Warm weather. If it's been like, oh, my God, Petro, how can you be talking to me about going up and getting on a Harley-Davidson motorcycle at Worth Harley-Davidson North, the biggest and best Harley-Davidson dealership in the Midwest? I say the world, but technically in the Midwest. How could I be telling you to do that? It fits better today, right? As it's warming, as the snow is melting away, go see him. I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Rick Worth, Chris Guerin, and the guys, absolutely phenomenal. They will take care of you with everything you need, whether it's the Harley itself, new or used. Great selection. This is the best time because now everyone's going to be getting up there, and the bikes, man, they just fly out the door at worst. So I'm going to really encourage you to get there this week with this warm weather we've got for the next couple of days. And even if it turns a little bit chilly later in the week, go now because the warm weather's coming and the best selection is right now at Worth Harley Davidson North. Proud title sponsor here of the program. We will talk some feud. In fact, we switch back to our non-football season schedule. So Todd Lebo and the feud moves to Monday. Now new and improved Lebo sounds now on a Monday. Right, that was actually the impetus, was like to have Lebo and his best sounds of the weekend, and then the feud kind of grew into it. And, you know, now the idea is that, like, the best sounds are actually on a Monday. We do it on a Wednesday because football gets busy and there's actually a lot of football, you know, that Wednesday's when they get at it for the first kind of focal point of the next opponent. But out of season, Todd Lebo shifts to Monday, so a chance to win a wonderful gift card to Hen House. How about that, Curtis?
I will take a gift card to Hen House.
I will, too. I will, too.
My every Saturday spot. Kind of varies which one I go to, but every Saturday afternoon, Hen House.
If you took the Saturday out of the statement there, you'd have my family.
Oh, it's not. It's more than just Saturday.
I know what you're saying. I'm just literally. I believe that we walk into Hen House like five nights a week, days a week, whether it's a morning or afternoon or whenever.
And when you were coming into the office, the fact that we were here 5 days a week and we'd go to lunch most of those days together, and about three of them, we'd be like, "Man, we'll just go to Hen House."
Like, so easy.
It's so many choices. So many choices. Everything you could want.
Nobody's upset, you know. Curtis could get his kettle of soup and two sandwiches. Jed could get some sushi. I could hit the salad bar, you know. I don't see no lettuce. That's right, because there's so many different toppings I put on it. Yes, it is a wonderful lunch spot, the delicatessen at your neighborhood Hen House. So we'll give you a gift card, whether you want to use it for your lunches or Harry's Brewery to stock up on some Coronas. I don't care. We'll just need a contestant. That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, so make your plans if you think you've got the stones that it takes to stand toe-to-toe with the program and play the feud. Two-minute drill coming up at 4 o'clock. Mike Renner going to be with us, Pro Football Focus. He focuses at the Pro Football Focus on the focus of the draft. We've got a lot of focuses in there.
I'm
going to bear down and focus.
Focus, finish.
We're not going to, you know, Tony Pena used to, you know, also have a version of focusing.
Yes, he did.
But now that I've kind of, you know, if I just did an impression, I could get away with it. Now that I've drawn attention to it, I don't think I can.
It became a game amongst media to see if we could get him to say it.
Yeah, because, you know, if you can, the kind of the Spanish accent. Tony was from the Dominican, right? The DR?
Yeah.
Am I correct?
99% certain.
Now, I'm backtracking a little bit.
He's from Cleveland.
Anyway, you know, it turns out Tyler, Texas.
You know, yeah, Dominican.
Didn't see it coming. The Dominican. Okay, yes. The Dominican accent in Spanish, the O becomes an But still, the end, the U.S. part of it,
yes.
Also So if you can have both vowels be and then go ahead and say that, and then you get why we in the media always tried to lead him into saying focus, because we're children. We're juvenile.
When Fortune did it, I realized, okay, it's officially a thing. When we got Don into the mix, it's like, okay, it's a fad.
It's like, it's a thing. If the senior member of the sports media is finding this funny, we're okay. We've got the green light. This is it. It was his job to go ahead and tell us to knock it off. When he didn't say knock it off, you children, we're like, okay, this is a green light. Here we go.
I guess we're rolling with this thing.
And by the way, Pena was a great guy to cover and talk to. His stories and his stories of catching Boddicker were the best. That was always great. Rip Boddicker.
I used to change the picture on my MLB, on my credential, because they never checked it. And as a joke, I would change the picture, and he got wind of it, and he began to look every time I came in to see who I was this week. Well, who are you today? And once I was him.
Yeah.
It's like, Curtis. Oh, I like it.
If people don't understand to the extent that Curtis, what he's talking about is he would, I don't know how many reams of paper, how many trees died for this. He would keep enlarging a photo or shrinking it till he got the head of somebody the exact size that it would fit the credential.
Yep.
Right? It was never out of size. It was the exact size. So he'd be like, oh, that's too big. Oh, that's too little. Then with like one of those, you know, razor blades on the end of a pen.
Mm-hmm. Exacto
that
knife.
Like some, yeah, but didn't you have like the kind that was like an art?
Yeah, it's still made by Exacto.
Okay, well, yeah. Somebody was making like high quality fake IDs. Mm-hmm. He had like a probably a $25 tool he used And then he would cut out the paper of this person's face, and it was the exact size it needed to be, and he would put it over his own face on his credential just to see if anybody ever actually looked at the faces on the credentials.
And they never did. I used the photo not available. I used that one time, just the silhouette, and that got me through. I was like, that's – now I know you guys aren't looking.
You're not looking.
And when I went
in the defense – in the defense of the folks out of Kauffman, they get to know who the regulars are.
When you go out there every night, they're like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, and this was also pre-9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, security was more lax back in the day. We were a more innocent society back then. So, you know, we had 9/11 hadn't happened. We hadn't had a Capitol stormed by our own people, so security was a little more lax back in those days. I digress, though. Let's talk basketball, should we? Isn't that where we agreed to start?
I agree.
I was going to say we were saving my baseball one, right? That's mm-hmm. what the final mm-hmm. decision was. No, not now. They're not ready for it. I believe was the statement. They can't take. They can't handle that take on baseball.
No, it's not.
Or the Royals just let them mature a little more before you hit them with this intense Royals knowledge. So I digress. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on. Now we'll start with the Kansas Jayhawks, who are playing the best basketball. We'll get to Mizzou, K-State, KU, Missouri. Always a topic here in the program. All three local schools winning.
Yes.
When was the last time that happened, Curtis?
1956. Now it has been a little while. Well, K-State hadn't won since last year, so we know it hadn't been since at least last December.
K-State was keeping the see you next year joke when you leave work on the 30th of December. They were keeping that alive almost through February. I mean, how impressive is that? You got to try.
Yes.
That's commitment. Don't you? And if you didn't try, is it better to have tried to have that kind of failure or better to have not tried? At least if you tried, you're like, yeah, this is what I tried to do.
Maybe a distinction without a difference, or a difference without a distinction, however that goes. But, they were committed to the bit, for sure.
We're going to keep telling this joke until it's funny. People are going to dig it. Now, we're going to start with Kansas, though. The Jayhawks getting a big, big victory as they continue to roll on. The question was asked on Sunday Sound Off by Aaron Ladd, who was hosting last night. By the way, always great to get a professional in there, right? Whether it's Haley or Aaron, you know, just Mick, God,
yeah.
And to get a professional. We started on time. We had our topics. It was just great to have a professional like Aaron.
It
wasn't all about him.
Mick.
We actually got to talk a little bit. You know, I thought it was great. It's just so much better than when Mick's in. By the way, if you're new to the program, Mick is a friend of the program, so we're giving him grief. Mick does a great job as well. But the question was asked, you know, what do we owe Kansas's, you know, better play to? And, you know, we asked this before, and Todd had said, look, I chalk it up to bad opponents, but Texas Tech is a quality opponent, and they really handled the game. I don't know. 67-61, I don't want to say, is not indicative of the game because they never had Tech down by, like, 25. It wasn't a couple of, you know, three Hail Mary threes at the end. That got them, you know, back to, 6 points. And Texas Tech fought and hung around and you know, kept things at least like, hey, there might be something to see here. What was the biggest? I'm trying to look right about here. 42-30, 15 to go. That got cut to 8, got cut to 8-9. It was right in that range most of the way. What do we get? What was the closest? Right in here. Here, what would it be? 6.
Yeah.
55-49 looks like it was the closest that they got it to. Oh, no, no. Actually,
no, they were down 3 within the final minute.
62-58.
64-61 at the 54-second mark.
Is.
And then Brown came down and hit the three
he hadn't hit all day.
Three.
Yeah. It was a trading of threes as Brown, they got a cut to 3. The Tech people got excited, and Brown said, go home. I'm going to knock this 3 down right in your face. I think just a real good win. It's not an epic win. Doesn't mean they're ready to beat Baylor by 10. We'll look out Gonzaga. Here comes Kansas. But it does validate all the other wins. And I think there's an element of, you know, get in the habit of playing good ball. And they got in the habit. They had a streak of lesser opponents that allowed them to get things going in the right direction and start playing better basketball. And they carried it over against a quality opponent. And I think that's big. And I think the fact that their defense, you know, I don't even know that it was their best defensive day. But, you know, I think they're now in the habit of playing quality defense. 33% from three for Tech, 42% overall. Usually I think Kansas would like that to be below 40%, but they did a fine job. They matched them on the boards. The question that I would have now, and Bill Self seemed to be quite complimentary afterwards, right? Like, he's now talking about how the team's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loves what it is. Give me number two, Jed. We'll hear him talk a little bit because I want to kind of gauge his mood and see what is the plan here of Bill Self. We know that they've always been a great defensive team, and now they're starting to play defense on a regular basis. Bill Self says his team's defense finally where it's been in the past.
We've had rough Januaries before. We've had rough Februaries before. We probably haven't had a stretch like that ever since I've been here, but we lost three out of four or three out of five and those sorts of things and played like crap. But the reason why it wasn't five out of seven was because we actually always guarded. And I think for the first time, I feel that this team is okay with winning the way that we need to win. We don't need to win a game in the high 70s. It'd be nice if we make shots and do that. And I'm not saying we can't do that, but the percentage play would be, we should take great pride, you know, first 1-70 wins or first 1-63 wins, whatever that kind of the number we come up with. And I think for the first time we kind of see it's kind of cool to actually commit to play the way we're playing and not worry about what we're doing on the other end as much. So that's been positive in my eyes. And who knows if it continues, but certainly it's been good here the last 3 weeks or whatever.
A lot of positives coming out of his mouth. I mean, he has settled in over the last few years, and maybe it's always been this way and we just haven't paid as close of attention. But he settled into, you know, tear him down for the first half of the conference schedule and then build them up coming down the stretch.
Yep.
I mean, it was definitely that way 2 years ago. Or is that only the strategy? Like, was it not that way last year when he had another number one seed? You know, is this a recent thing, or did I just not pick up on it in his early days?
A lot of times, though, when the tear him down part was, you'd hear him be not necessarily non-complimentary or insulting of his own team, but kind of talking about the team isn't playing well and they got to play better. And this year it was something we hadn't heard before, and it was like a realization. It wasn't angry that the team wasn't playing particularly well, but they just didn't have the talent they had before, and that was what seemed to be new about this this year. So I agree, it's gone from the let's pull it back to now it's positive, but it was a different type of place they were coming from this year. And it started about a week or so ago when you began to hear him say he likes the way his team's playing, and as we said last week, well, let's see him play against a good team, and they finally did that. It was like Saturday seemed to be an affirmation of what he'd been saying for about a week or so about how they finally gotten around to learning how to play the one defensive change they made, how it's actually kind of coming around and showing some results.
Yeah, I think I get the idea. Like, okay, I've torn them down as far as I can. I got to get their self confidence up. I mean, I think everybody's heard the tear them down to build them back up better, build them back up stronger, kind of approach to things. I think you got to have something to tear down. You're right. He's never been like, I remember once Jim Boeheim looking at the stats, the late Conrad McRae, who was a guy who loved to go get the offensive rebound and try to throw it down and dunk. He was like 6'9 and a half and could really jump. And that was his thing, was throwing down dunks, getting out on the break, finishing with a dunk, blocking shots and dunking, right? He was happy to get a rebound if it was on the offensive end where he could throw it back down. Not quite as motivated on the defensive end because he was usually flailing away trying to block every shot and would take himself out of position on defense. And it was clear Jim Boeheim was trying to send a message when he looked at the stat sheet, and Conrad McRae had six rebounds, all six offensive. And Boeheim looked at it and he said, Connor and McRae, 6 rebounds. 0 defensive rebounds. 0 defensive rebounds. A dead man could get 1 defensive rebound.
That is such a Boeheim comment. That is, I mean, it really is straight-faced.
I mean, you want to send a message to a guy like, you're worse than a dead man on the floor on that end, on what we're trying to ask you to do here. Like, I've never heard Bill Self single a guy out and go that hard at him. You know, I've heard him be like, he knows he can't do that, and, you know, those kind of things. I've heard him, you know, go at the whole team.
Yeah, he'll say, we've just been awful. We were awful.
Yeah, we're just, we're not going to make a shot. You know, I mean, we haven't made a shot in 3 weeks. You know, he'll say something like that, but never really go right at a guy. He seems to be quite complimentary about this team, like in an effort to kind of, I believe, be building up their confidence. And, you know, he's a Hall of Fame coach, soon to be Hall of Fame coach, I got to believe. And, or did he go in? He finally did go in a year or two ago, didn't he?
I don't know.
Right now I can't remember.
He should be.
I think he is, isn't he?
Yes, 2017.
2017, okay. A Hall of Fame coach, I mean, he knows how to manage his teams and get them going. But I think this is one that he's trying to love up.
Yeah.
Because I think they are playing better defense collectively, and I think maybe it's just a chemistry thing because they're always a good defensive team. He clearly can coach defense. And or recruit guys that are willing to play defense, right? Like, do you think that, like, is it more just a mindset? I do think a lot of playing great defense is something you're born with. Like, if you're lazy, like, there's only so much. Like, did you see the Texas West Virginia game where the Texas guys almost got in a fight because who was yelling at who? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember which way it was. I think Jones was getting yelled at by who's the other guard, the one that had the big day? I keep wanting to say Mabry, but it's not Mabry.
Ramey.
Ramey, yeah.
Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones.
Yeah, Ramey went after Jones because he like, didn't go guard anyone. He's like, come on. Like, what are you doing? Get out there. Like, if you have that, like, Jones is never going to be, like, defensive player of the year. I believe you can coach some more defense out of people. I think Bill Self has shown that. And whether it's just the cohesiveness of playing better team defense. But part of it is you got to go recruit a guy who wants to defend, right? You see the kid that James Harden had a reputation at Arizona State for being like, I'll just get another bucket on the other end. You go ahead and get yours. I'll get two, right? And that ain't changed in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been anybody who's reached James Harden and got him to lock down. And that's one of the reasons why I think it'll be interesting to see if they can just – out, you know, 150 to 148 you in an NBA Finals, because I don't think James Harden has it within him to, like, dig in and defend. I don't think Bill Self gets those kids. I don't think you make it into his recruiting, although Andrew Wiggins, and maybe it's just not fair because you just see the immense athletic talent. Maybe he was a lot better defender than I'm giving him credit for, but, you know, you didn't ever see the emotion, at least, out of Andrew Wiggins about getting into it defensively. But Kansas coming around. This is a real nice win against Texas Tech. Or is it? Or is it? Is Texas Tech simply overrated? They're down to what, 500 in the league? Or almost 500 in the league?
6-6, yeah.
Yeah. Are we, like, do we look at it, should we, is, you know, and I brought it up because that was the question we got, and I was definitely part of the, yeah, they're playing better. You know, Oklahoma State, we know, is probably not belongs in the top 25, but they were number 23 when they beat them. Iowa State, terrible. K-State, terrible. But, no, they beat Texas Tech. That's a good win. Listen, the answer to that question we'll know after they play Texas and Baylor. Yeah, right? If they get housed by Texas and Baylor, then we'll be like, nope, Texas Tech, 500 team in the league. Why were we excited about that win? Go beat Texas, and they're clearly raising it to another level. Which is it? Are they playing better ball, or did they just beat a mediocre team that Chris Beard captures the fancy of the basketball fans out there, and so therefore they get more love than they should? They still wear the almost winning a championship 2 years ago, you know, cloak around them that makes them better. Which is it?
I tend to think it's more that they're playing better. I'd say 60% that they're playing much better defense, and 40% there's a lot of mush in the middle of the top 25 from about 10 on down. There's a lot of teams that are just kind of in that wash.
And I'm more with Kay. Maybe it's just because I have the Jayhawk red and blue glasses on, but I at least think that they're playing better basketball. The one thing that I think that, as we've talked about the whole time, when you're not as talented, you can play good defense and really give teams a lot of trouble. And I think that Kansas has finally embraced that and recognized that's going to be their path to winning in the tournament. So they have to. So from that end, I do think it's a quality win. Chris Beard is still a very good coach. I think we would all agree with that. So I think it's a good win.
It's a strike. I mean, yeah. When was the last time you remember?
It's definitely a good win, but I'm like, is it a sign that they're back? Not back at being a number one seed, but I mean, do we take that win and say, look, they're growing. Like, he's talking about our defense is back. You know, he's pointing to clearly coming off this game being a strong indicator towards it. Are they really back, or is Texas Tech just not very good? That we're going to look back at it and say, you know, Texas Tech goes into the NCAA tournament. Maybe they fumble away a couple of games down the stretch, whatever makeup game they've got. They lose in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. And we're looking at a team that's like, you know, 16-11 at the end of the NCAA tournament. They finish with a loss in the NCAA tournament, a loss in the Big 12 tournament. And, you know, what are they at, 14-7? Yeah, they lose a couple more. You know, they're 16-11. Are we going to be like, yeah, remember that quality win against Texas Tech?
I wouldn't say they're back yet. I would say this is that,
yeah, that's
that, that was the first step toward them being back. I think playing good defense and beating Iowa State twice and K-State was kind of holding court and steadying yourself and getting ready to take that first step. Saturday was the first step. It was their best win since they beat West Virginia back in whenever that was.
To give it a boxing analogy, the Iowa States and K-States were clearing your head of the cobwebs.
Yeah.
And now you just went out and won a round. You know, you did a nice job and you won a round. But you got to win some more.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see where it is. I am curious, and that's why I asked the question to Kansas fans that maybe, you know, live on every word that comes out of Bill Self's mouth might know better. Is this his normal approach? Is it tear it down to then build him up? Or is this a guy that's really trying to love them into believing in themselves? Because he's looking at it going, nah, I'm not sure. Because I'm not all in yet that they're there. I think they, you know, they definitely is a good, like you said, good quality win, playing better basketball. But are they playing at a level that's high enough to get to the second weekend?
Coin flip.
Right? I mean, we're talking about that second go-round. They're the five playing a four.
Yeah,
right now, where they're ranked,
I think they need to get a little bit better offensively to feel good about them getting the second weekend. That may not happen, but I don't think you can get the second weekend just playing defense.
And you can't do this. There'll be some teams that are higher that, you know, that'll move up, but there'll also be teams that are higher that'll drop down. But if you just took the rankings, they're the highest number five seed. So that the second game, they're playing the lowest number four.
Yeah.
Like, are you convinced that that's a no-brainer? This team's in the Sweet 16. Are you convinced Kansas takes down Virginia? Virginia Tech, Texas, those are the teams. Those are the three teams in front of them in the rankings.
I think they can still lose in any round they play.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a 5-12 game, yeah. I mean, the 12s are really where it starts to step up. Even now, more so the 13s are doing a lot of damage against 4s in the tournament. So, no, I think it's still work to be done. 913-810-810. We'll take your phone calls. I want to talk Missouri basketball as well. 913-810-810. They welcome Jeremiah Tillman back, and they get a victory, a much-needed victory. We'll talk about the Tigers next here on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I mean, there's no, I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Going to switch gears and talk some Missouri here in a second. First, I want to ask, though, what Baylor's got to make up games. There was a lot of conversation this weekend about how they're going to do that, you know, what's going to be the approach, you know, because they can't make up all their games. What are they down, 6 or 7 games?
Mm-hmm.
So that the expectation is that they will, you know, they're only going to get some of those games made up. How should they handle that? right? It sounds like, well, what do you mean? I mean, they're just like, well, do you give them the bad teams? Do you give them the good teams? Like, what is it on Baylor's schedule that should be made up? Because I think it sounds easy at first until you go, okay, well, you know, the games they have to make up, they're not making up Gonzaga or Nichols, but Texas, what is it? Let's see, it was versus Texas,
mm-hmm.
versus West Virginia, versus TCU, at OU, versus Texas Tech, at West Virginia, versus Oklahoma State. And I think it's interesting because right now you have the strange statistical phenomenon, or at least just the, I don't know, maybe it's ironic. Eh, I don't think it fits irony, but Oklahoma is 9-4, and Kansas is 11-5. In the games back column, Kansas is only a game and a half back. Oklahoma is two games back. But win percentage-wise, Oklahoma has a higher win percentage. Because Oklahoma's only played 13 games and Kansas has played 16, and they're chasing a team that has played 9. And has only got, what, yeah, 3 more left. So they're going to come up 6 games short. What do you have them do? I think you have to make them play Oklahoma, don't you? Since
yeah,
Oklahoma and Kansas are duking it out for the number 2 spot, and you look at the standings and you've got a team that's 2 back in front of a team that's 1.5 back, I mean, that to me is a question that needs to get answered. Okay, they beat Baylor. Even though they end up playing, you know, 3 games less than Kansas, let's say, or 2 games less than Kansas, they did beat them. You'd feel okay, even if it was like, hey, these are just percentage points apart. Yeah, but one team beat Baylor and one team didn't.
Yeah.
I am aware Kansas gets a shot at Baylor for Senior Day, so settle down. But if Baylor would beat Kansas and Oklahoma would lose to somebody else and then beat Baylor, I think you don't have a problem giving Oklahoma the 2 seed and being second in the standings. But I think that's one of the games that needs to be made up for conference integrity, doesn't it?
Yeah, make them work in a roadie. I mean, they got the West Virginia game. When is that? Thursday. So I guess you'd have to. I'd like to see them make up
one. And that's the next thing is West Virginia at 8-4 is 2.5 games back.
Yeah.
So we're at baseball standings. Kansas to be second, Oklahoma third, West Virginia fourth. The way it's being stacked, at least on the screen I'm looking at, is by win percentage because the game differential is so different, the number of games, has Oklahoma, Kansas, West Virginia. So by that standpoint, you'd be like, okay, if we wanted to be fair at the top of the standings, Texas at 7-5, well, then you get to 8-4 and 7-5. What's the difference there? But if you say we want the top three on this, then you got to have the top three make sure that they get all 2. Then you play both West Virginia games and the Oklahoma game. And then at least the top three in the standings all played each other twice.
Yeah. And you could work the road teams next week.
Okay. So now, let me ask you this. If Baylor goes in and loses twice, do they fall out of a number 1 seed? Because then from a conference standpoint, do you protect Baylor? Give them the rummies? And say we want to try to take a shot at that 1-1, maybe somebody. And by the way, having won now 19 consecutive games by double digits in the West Coast Conference. And by the way, Gonzaga plays Thursday and Saturday against, Santa Clara and then Loyola Marymount. Santa Clara is 500 in the league. Loyola Marymount 6-4. Those are their next 2 games. The all-time record for a number 1 team. Consecutive wins by double digits is 20 by the 71-72 UCLA Bruins.
I've heard of them.
And Gonzaga is about ready to topple that.
Wow.
I mean, they're going to be I guarantee you they're going to be double-digit favorites in both those games. So just think about that this week as you're watching college basketball. If you're a true college basketball junkie and you love all the college basketball, then that's what Gonzaga's got an opportunity to do with this. With where they're at is to win 21 consecutive games by double digits, something that's never been done, at least by a number 1 team. I wouldn't think that a number 2, 3, 5, or number 50 team has done it, but for the way I saw it written up last week, because I saw it at 18, and then they won again by double digits, and so I could, of course, do that math and understand that it's 19. But it was just written with number 1 team, record, right, for a number 1 team winning by double digits. Maybe it's the first time anybody went back and looked it up. Like, it's not really a record. It's just like, we just figured this out. And we're not bothering to look at every number two, number three, number four through history. But we wanted to find out about the number ones, and we went that far, and that's all the effort we're putting into it.
Here's
I can't
fact.
Remember where I saw that snap, but I copied and pasted it onto my notes from somewhere. But anyway, 19 in a row. So if you're the Big 12, is it better to have an undefeated Baylor in there? Do you go, let's get them a couple to make sure they win two. Let's get them a couple of the gimmies to make sure that they win two. And by gimmies, I don't know that they're actually gimmies. Let's give them TCU, and let's give them what? Who's playing the worst now? Texas maybe? No, TCU and Oklahoma State. And then just take one of Oklahoma, the two West Virginias. Take a West Virginia so they at least played everybody once.
Yeah.
And then they at least hopefully go 2-1. We get a or better, we get a high seed, and we put West Virginia last. Hopefully they can kind of stair step up their play. Like, if you're the Big 12 office, what do you do with this situation?
Man, I don't want that freaking job. I think you could, it's, I would imagine every school is on board with whatever gets the most teams, whatever helps getting the most teams into the tournament, and whatever helps get one of their teams number one seed. And those two things may conflict, but I don't think they do in that instance. I think you help Baylor and help the other teams if you try not to match them, allow the other teams to get, I guess you'd have to give them an extra win, but they're probably not going to beat Baylor. So I think it serves the conference to not make them play the toughest games. And I think everyone involved would probably be on board with that decision.
I'm looking here. How many do they have in from the Big 12? You know, sometimes, am I the only one? Is it just because I'm becoming an old fart? But, like, sometimes things aren't broken, so don't mess with it. Have you seen the new bracketology these days?
Mm-mm.
It's you know, they've gone to 11 in true Spinal Tap fashion, making it harder to see all the teams. But it's got motion, so it's better, I guess. I'd have to count up what bracketology has, but I want to see where. I'm sure Texas Tech is safely in, but I do think if they're stumbling, yeah, they're a 4 seed in this. Oklahoma State's an 8 seed. So do you avoid making Oklahoma State play them? Wait a minute, Oklahoma State's not even eligible. Are they?
They could be. They're kind of sitting in limbo. I heard C.J. Moore talking about that this morning on the Border Patrol, how they could still make the tournament because there hasn't been a final decision made by the NCAA.
So they've appealed it, but they haven't given them an answer.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Well, way to jump right on it.
The NCAA has everything figured out, so I'm not stunned that was their reaction. Be like, well, we'll let you know maybe by the end of the season.
What else are they doing right now?
Getting an early start on their Christmas shopping.
That's pathetic. Is it just me, or is that pathetic?
It's pretty bad. But, again, we are talking about the NCAA, so I'm not stunned.
Okay, so they've got 7 in. And the low water mark is Oklahoma State, or I'm missing somebody, because doesn't that leave, if they're in and Oklahoma State's in, let me go to the standings here. No, that's right. That'd leave TCU, K-State, and Iowa State out, yeah. Yeah, so that's right. So they've got 7 in right now. Do you protect Oklahoma State or Texas Tech? I think with another loss, Texas Tech sitting there, when all of a sudden your conference record is 6-7, I think people are going to be like, whoa, wait a minute. Hang on, what do we got here? Like, they're getting banged around. I know it's a good conference and all, and I don't think 6-7 is going to get them out. I don't think one below. I think Texas Tech will be in even with a sub-500 record in league. But I think it does start to drive you down. I think it is, and it does need to be pointed out, it's a difficult task to try to figure out.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody can be super pissed because there's this pandemic going on that caused it. This is not, you know, something they engineered on their own.
Right.
But it is like, what is the most fair way to do it? Like, do you do what's best for the league to get into the tournament? Do you do what's best for the integrity of the standings? When Baylor, you know, what would they have to? They'd have to lose, I guess, I mean, almost maybe a 1-5 to not win the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the league is pretty much decided with them at 9-0 unless they go 1-5, which, who knows, after being off for, you know, the better part of a month. I mean, I don't know how they're going to come back and play. But, you know, I think it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge. And here's the other thing. How good do those guys feel? Because, like, Hunter Dozier is basically the conversation around Royal spring training is that Hunter Dozier's bad season is easily being tossed aside by the Royals because he never felt right the entire year or the entire 60 games. I don't like calling it a year. Mm-hmm. The entire 60 games after coming down with COVID early. So how many guys are back to 100%? How many guys are like, dude, I still can't – I don't have my wind. You know, I'm still feeling the after effects. I mean, Baylor, this could crush Baylor. This could be a different team when they take the floor.
Which, I mean, would – it's like last year they lost that wonderful opportunity because the tournament got canceled. They back it up this year and could have a similar situation. I mean, the same root cause but a different effect from it. I can't imagine that every guy is going to be 100% the rest of the way. I'm sure somebody, one, two players, won't be 100%. And yeah. I mean, the fine line between teams in college sports, that might be enough to pull them back to the pack, at least close enough to where they get knocked off in a game they probably wouldn't have lost otherwise.
Frank Martin falls to the Missouri Tigers, 93-78. We'll talk about Mizzou's win. Are they back? Is it all fixed with the Tigers? That's next here on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Certainly I'm not proud of it, but this is locker room talk.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Soren Petro, Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall with you. Missouri Tigers getting a big win at South Carolina, 93-78. Looked like it was going to be more of the same, letting off the gas pedal and tank in the second half. But in the end, Mizzou takes care of business and gets it done. Your confidence level as a Tiger fan is where, Curtis?
Generally about where it is coming off of every win, wondering if that's a step in the right direction is going to be continued or whether they're going to fall back. I mean, I feel much better about them with Tillman back on the court offensively. Yep. And particularly defensively. He made some big plays in that regard on Saturday, even in a game where both teams scored a lot of points. So I just think everything that team does is better with him on it. Everyone around him is a little bit better. They're not quite as reliant upon the outside shot when he's in the paint. So I feel better than I would have otherwise. But for me, until they sustain any type of good play, every game is always a question mark.
I would agree, but I think, you know, this was a good solid win for them to you know, get back going in the right direction. And I know they got it cut down to whatever it was, 7 or so, at one point during that thing. I do think, you know, the mission accomplished, moving on, and two games that are important. I think for Missouri, they got to avenge the Ole Miss loss, and I think there's reason to believe they will. They got crushed by Tennessee and then bounced back in a strong way the second game there. I'm kind of optimistic that that will happen again. Texas A&M is not a very good team. Win both of those, now you're 9-6. That's a lot better than, you know, coming out of that being 8-7 and then a tough game at Florida where you'll definitely be an underdog. And likely, you know, finish up at 8-8. I think it's important to have a winning record. We've said all along, you know, Konzo Martin's got a senior upper class group here. He needs to cash and deliver, right? He needs to make it happen. And we'll talk a little bit later about Gonzaga. Like, this is the number one team in the country and number one with a bullet. Like, how many big recruits do they have on that team? You know, they've got one really big one, right, the point guard. But, like, this is a team Missouri should really kind of be emulating, I think. And I think when you look at how they've recruited, how Gonzaga's recruited, I think a lot of teams could emulate how Gonzaga's getting it done. But important for Missouri not to give this game back, to win the next two winnable games and get that conference record well above 500.
The burnt end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, since 2004, how many Grand Slam men's championships have been won by, how many players have won multiple championships not named Federer, Nadal, or Djokovic? Brought to Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.